I got the finger point from pastor, so I just jumped up here. You get the finger point from pastor, you better do something. Good deal. Hey, it's good to be here, guys. Was that a good ending song? That was pretty awesome. You know, when you really pay attention, don't just do a song service. Think about what we're doing, singing, praying, believing, right? Just important, really important. Everybody doing good? Y'all quiet. You guys are, you're not scared, right? Nobody told you nothing weird or nothing, right? Okay, good. I know people talking. Thought somebody was nervous. I hope not. I'm just a loving guy. I love Jesus. Love people. You know what the gospel did? A lot of things for me, but one thing it showed me was the value of people. If you really understand the gospel, your days of valuing people, some more than others, less than others, I don't like their personality, boy, they rub me wrong, that ended for me. And it's actually a sign of transformation when you start seeing people for what they're called to, created for, and worth, instead of what they're doing. Jesus hung on a cross. It was the biggest injustice ever. They're killing him for nothing. He was totally right. And they were sure he was wrong. That's a scary thought. Truth every day in their streets. Truth every day. Truth. Total, crystal clear truth every day. And all they did was listen for what they didn't agree with and could never hear what he said. And killed him and thought they were right. That's scary. The total truth could stand in front of you every day and you can't hear it. In fact, you hear the total opposite and you're actually sure he's wrong and you're right. That's scary. That keeps me... But that same Jesus getting mistreated like that hangs on a cross and the best he can say is forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Do you think he saw the value of people? See, I want to learn from him. I don't want to just get blessed by him. I just don't want to get my name in a book called life because of what he did. I want that life to be in me. I want that life to live through me, to look through me, to shine through me. I want everything he paid for in my life. Really. We're going to talk about it a little bit. Just relax with me, okay? And he got me a little nervous. I don't usually get nervous, but he handed me that paper and he said I was preaching for an hour. He said, now don't get too caught up in that, but that's just our people are just used to a shorter service. I said, well, I got to talk to them or something. I said, I feel like I'm just breaking in an hour. And then I have another problem. I've never heard the control tower tell me to land the plane. So I got a real problem. I just stop. So bear with me. And if you do get done before me, just slip out. It won't be because of my preaching, because I'm going to preach good. So I won't take it personal. If you have to leave, I just believe you have to leave. But if you can stay, stay. Because I don't think you guys do weekends like this. You don't do like a Friday, Saturday. Like, what in the world are you guys doing, man? Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. I flew in for this thing. Why? Not because we have a contract, because he's going to give me X amount of money. We didn't even talk about that. What did I tell you? I said, forget the offering. I'm not even coming for it. Did I tell you that? You guys didn't buy my plane ticket. Jesus bought it. No church ever buys my plane ticket. This is not a business deal. I'm not here on business except for kingdom. This isn't some kind of contract. This isn't my occupation and way of living. It's a burning that's in my heart. My life was changed. Yeah. So this isn't a business for me. This isn't like the way I'm going to make a living. So I'm going to deal with pastor. No, if I was here for money, I'd have took an invite where I knew it was a bigger church. I could have brought my invites. You have no idea. It's crazy. And I'm not responsible for YouTube. I don't own a computer. I didn't put me on YouTube. Somebody did. And somebody organized it and broke it down and categorized it and made 10-minute clips and all this stuff people tell me. I don't even know who did it. It's amazing. People tell me ministries pay money to get the stuff done that they did for me. And I don't even know who's doing it. It's pretty cool. I had a pastor recently call me and we were talking and he said, And I was explaining something to him that I was running into that I was trying to get wisdom on. And he said, well, brother, you should expect that if you put yourself all over YouTube. You be careful how presumptuous you are. He's just assuming I'm promoting myself. I said, sir, I've never put me on YouTube. I honestly don't know how I get on there. He said, what? I said, yeah, be careful. Outward appearance, snap judgment stuff. I'm zero responsible for YouTube. But YouTube is all over the world now. So countries are inviting me to come to their countries. And they don't even know me. They're just watching YouTube and they're saying, would you come? I'm not joking. A lot of countries asked me to come overseas to preach their churches. And I'm humbled by it. It's amazing. So why am I here? Because I want to be. Because I see the value of people. I just read an invite. We have 4,000 that attend our church. Would you come? But I'm here. A lot of pastors let me know how big their church is because they think that helps. I actually go to some. They say, we're out in the byways somewhere. We're in the cornfields of Illinois. And I'm like, I got to go. Really, I feel like I got to go. I find when I get there, a lot of speakers don't go to those places. You can't get a big crowd. A lot of those places are in a culture and they're living everyday life and they love Jesus the best they know him, but they're not thinking of going to a conference and taking the time and money to go do whatever. They're just living in Jesus where they live. It's neat when you can go there. It's just neat. So I kind of tend to gravitate to those places because this isn't a business for me. It's just on my heart. I'm just starting off this way. Well, I'll just trust it'll work out in the end. The gospel, if you see it clear, teaches you the value of people. You see the value of people because while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to shed his blood for us. So is that just so we're forgiven or something can be redeemed and restored so we can grow up into him in all things and become something? Maybe he paid a high price, not just so we can go to heaven someday, but heaven could come into us and we could be restored back to what was lost through sin and separation from God. Maybe we can actually become different people. Maybe our motives can change. Our perspective can change. Maybe our reason for being can change. Maybe we actually, I think I read this in the Bible, put off the old man and his deeds and actually put on a new man. Well, if you put on a new man, then there has to be a new why behind your life. There has to be a new vision, a new perspective. Come on, if we're just in this thing to get blessed, we're probably not feeling very blessed. We're probably aware of every adversity, everything that's not in a row, everything that's out of whack, and our prayer life is driven by what's wrong. And all of a sudden, it's just about getting something from him instead of becoming something because of who he is. Come on, Jesus did not shed his blood just to make sure you have enough money in the bank, blessed, protected, and all that stuff. There was times Paul ran into all kinds of trouble, not because he wasn't spiritual. You guys good? Good to see you. They were drawing me like a magnet. I tried to stay away. He showed me the value of people. Where people don't get on my nerves, he gave me new nerves. People don't get under my skin, he gave me new skin. I actually believe I understand what Jesus meant when he said, forgive them, they don't know what they do. If people really knew who they were, they wouldn't live the way they're living. And he paid a price for them when they were living that way. Which means he saw something greater. Who pays a high price if they don't see the value? Do you just pay a high price because there's a debt, or do you pay a high price because your purchased possession, what you obtained through the price, is worth what you paid? Come on. Who here ever paid a high price for nothing? I know you people. Come on. Yeah. 2 for 1, 50% off, or buy one, get one free. Buffet, all you can eat. Come on. You see it and you wait for it to go on sale. You know the season's about over, but you think, oh, well, if I wait for it on sale, I'll catch a little wear out of it, but I'll save it. Am I relating? Is this real? Coupons, clippers, man, you're turning all that in. You're reading how much you save. You're telling your husband, he grunts, he don't quite get it, but you're saving, man. So here's the deal. If we pay the price, we ourselves are sure that what we're paying for is worth what we're paying. Well, why don't we think about the gospel that way? Do you think he paid this price unless he's sure that the possession that he's obtaining through the purchase is well worth the price to him? See, because the end result is supposed to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let your light so shine before men that they see your life and know there's a God. That scripture, come on, this thing is not a passport to heaven. It's the answer of a brand new life. It's getting free from yourself so you can get in Him. When you get free from yourself, you get free from everybody else. Seriously, when it's all about you, then it's all about everybody else towards you. So now you're just a people button away from having a bad day, a trying day, a frustrated day, an angry day, a lot more on your plate. Me, me, me. How I feel. What they did. Oh my. And all of a sudden life is deciding who you are instead of the giver of it. And all of a sudden how you're doing is based on how it's going instead of who He is in you and why. And next thing you know, we don't even realize what subtly happened. All of a sudden, the gospel became a survival kit to help us make it. Are you with me? Come on, this is not a survival kit. The gospel is not here to help you make it to the end. You already made it if you're in Him. You already won. You're in Him. He's in you. Yay! Like you're never going to die. It's not about death. It's about life. Come on, I've just been around a little bit. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a couple different churches. Mom mixed it up to try to keep me. Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to church. She said, well, as I got older, she switched it up. When I got in my mid-teens, she took me somewhere where they had drums like that in a case. I don't even think they were in a case back then. It's just poof. And she figured I'll take him there. Maybe he'll like it. Why? She's trying to keep me engaged. It's the message that keeps you engaged. It's nothing out here. It's the truth that makes you free. Not the church you attend. The truth. Christianity isn't church attendance. Christianity is Christlikeness. And we gather ourselves together and don't forsake that gathering so we can keep each other stirred in love and good works. That's Bible. It's Hebrews 10. The whole reason we gather isn't because it's the church we belong to. The whole reason Bible that we gather is to stay stirred up and focused in why He came and who we are now that He's here. And guys, if we miss that, we miss what being a Christian is. And all of a sudden we let the things we do for Him take the place of knowing Him, which changes us. You guys okay? You are really staring at me like, am I too worked up? I'm okay. I'm trying to stay calm enough to communicate. I'm talking plain. Come on, this is a big deal. It's good tidings of great joy. I'm not being nitpicky, judgmental. Not a lot of great joy unspeakable among us. There's a lot of other things speaking louder than truth. A lot of us are only doing as good as it's going, as good as we feel. We've allowed to live ourselves. We've taught ourselves to live through our attitudes and emotions instead of faith and truth. Opinions, dime a dozen. Well, I feel, well, I think, well, whatever. And it's a giveaway that we haven't learned what it means to live by the Spirit. We've been trained by a lie our whole lives, people. Our whole lives, we were born into Adam. None of us were one with God when we were born. We were separate. We all needed born again. You tell me where it's not correct scripturally. Every one of us were born into the world, into the Adam, the fall of man, to the wisdom of the world, to the way that seemeth right to a man. And your whole motive was self-centered from the time you can remember. It was all about you. Before you could speak in a language, you were self-centered. It's what happened when man sinned. Everything got perverted. Not 360, 180. God made man in his image in the Garden of Eden. He didn't just make man. He made man for his image, for his own likeness. Well, we've lived so far from that that we don't even think about that because we say we're just evil, fallen flesh. Our hearts are wicked. You know, da-da-da. And we quote all the Old Testament. But you ought to look at the New. The New's amazing. The New. Let's stop following our own experience and one another and follow Him because He said follow Him. It must be possible. It must be possible to live by the Spirit if He says to live by the Spirit. Don't be afraid of this stuff. This is awesome. It changed me. It put this passion you see in me. So I'm either a good actor and that'll be exposed someday, or this is real to me. It's good tidings of great joy. When you understand the good tidings, joy explodes in your heart. You're not trying to have joy. You're not going up to the altar for joy. You see the truth, and it makes you free. And he that's free, he's free. Why? Because you see. And you're not going to be tricked again. You're not going to live lower. You're not going to, the way that seems right to man is exposed. If it's not producing life, it can't be him. If the mentality isn't encouraging my heart, how can it be the Lord? Or it's that self-centered thing, see? You know how many people are Christians for themselves? Do you know how many Christians have become Christians because the message they heard to become a Christian was self-beneficial? And they didn't even die to themselves along the way. They just inherited something, they say. They just signed up for something. So they signed up to go to heaven. They signed up for blessings. Signed up for protection. Do you know that Jesus said in the Gospels, in Matthew, if you don't love less, your mama, your papa, your spouse, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, your own life. If you don't love those things less, you'll by no means, no way, ever be my disciple and be a wholehearted follower of what I created you for. And most people are Christians for the well-being of that list and don't understand what he means. So if anything happens on that list, they fall apart, shut down, mad at God, quit praying. And whatever happens becomes their testimony, stereotypes them for 20 years. I pastored long enough to know that's true. I've seen a lot of good people get deceived and get hurt through a lack of understanding. And Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do, so you don't judge them for the lack of understanding. You cry out louder truth. You keep teaching people who they are. You keep teaching people who they are. And the ones that don't want to listen and hear it, that's fine. That's their business. That's their privilege. But Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But this is a strong, sharp statement. You know who's hearing by the way they live. Not the way they speak. Your life lived reveals what you believe and understand. Are you following me? He paid for something amazing. He did not just pay for the forgiveness of your sins. He paid to put his life inside of us. He paid to make us new wineskins so we could hold the new wine. He paid for us to die to ourselves so we could live unto him. See, here's what happened. I saw it in my Bible, and it just 23 years ago changed me, put passion in me. Changed the way I think, the way I live, the way I see you. People just don't bother me anymore. I love people. You see, you can't love all people. I love people. They're all worth the blood. That's not a generic spiritual preacher statement that you're supposed to say because you're wearing a mic. It's something you live. You know that if they really knew, they wouldn't do the things they're doing. That's why unforgiveness has no place then anymore in your life, because it doesn't ever come personal anymore because you denied yourself. You're living for the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, you seek ye what? Not second. The kingdom of God, not your well-being, not your preference. You don't seek ye first your preference. Come on, let me talk plain. You got to think for the kingdom or you'll think for yourself. It's one or the other. There's nothing in the middle. If you're truly discouraged, you have to be focused on yourself. How it ain't working the way you thought, what you got to go through now, what this thing put you through, now how you got to pay up. If you're discouraged, you're focused on yourself. You're not thinking for the kingdom. And we think discouragement is a normal lot in life and that everybody has it at some level. You show me discouragement in Jesus. Here's discouragement in Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives at night while his disciples are sleeping. Father, I just don't think people appreciate me. I mean, I'm trying hard, man. I mean, I'm loving. I mean, how much more can I multiply their food? I'm raising the dead. They're trying to figure out what demons possessing me. They aren't seeing you in my life. They think I'm a blasphemer. When I say my father, they're like, your father's the devil. Like, you're not from God. They're not receiving from me. And I just don't know. I'm just not encouraged. I don't know how I can face them tomorrow. I'm a little... You're going to have to minister to me through the night here because... In fact, yesterday when they came back to see me, it's only because I fed them the day before and I caught them on it. And when I caught them on it, they walked away because they knew I was right, but they wouldn't admit it and they didn't want to change. So they walked away rather than change. So I'm supposed to just yay and go yay and just be Mr. Christian tomorrow. I'm not feeling this. Could you imagine Jesus carrying the cross? Never doing one thing even slanted. Not even slanted. Everything he did was flawlessly pure. And they're crucifying him and spitting on him and kicking him and beating him again and again and again and again. This is real. This stuff is real to me. This is the guy, I'm done being embarrassed over what I believe. He did nothing wrong. And they beat him again and again and again. And it wouldn't change him. We would have never made it close to that far. But even if halfway through he'd have just stopped, we'd have understood. But he can't stop because he's love. Because he ain't here for himself, he's here for us. So the sin against him had no power to produce sin in him. Because he loves not his own life unto death. So he can't drop the cross. Preachers say this to this day. They say one of the biggest examples of God's love for us, he could have came down from the cross, but he didn't. No, he couldn't. Love can't fail. He can't come down from the cross. It's not an option. It's not an option. He's not hanging there going, what a bunch of knuckleheads. Barabbas, are you kidding me? The blind fools they are. I mean, Barabbas is in prison for killing a man. I raised the dead. He's causing conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace. And they want to release Barabbas and crucify me? I'll tell you what, now that I'm thinking of this, I don't even think I'm going to die on this cross. He doesn't even know how to think that way. You say, why? Because he's Jesus. Because he's love. Because he's totally selfless. Because it's not about him at all. It's about the Father and you. It's about the Father and you. And then he says, if you want to follow me, there's something you got to do. Deny yourself. He didn't say pray a prayer and make sure you're in the book in case you hit a tree when you leave the service. That's what we preach. That's not what he preached. We preach a self-serving gospel continually. And we have discouraged people that attend church weekly that have been rendered they've been rendered of no effect where Christ is concerned in their life. I was just trying to be polite. Where the light isn't on, because it's still all about them and what they need and how it didn't and why they and how come they and why did they and they should have. Because if any of that is in your life, you're rendered unproductive. You can't shine. And the whole reason light is in you is so you shine. So if the enemy can trick us into doing church without being church, there we no light to shine. So then the light of the world doesn't really get seen, even though we sing about him and talk about him. And it gets swallowed up in our attitudes and our wrong perspectives and perceptions. But Jesus said, if any of you want to come after me, let him first deny himself. That's first, deny yourself. Realize you were never made for you. Never made for you. You were made for his image from the beginning. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh my goodness, we're on to something now. I start finding that in my Bible in 1995. Ah! Yeah, very excited. You say, calm down, you're wrong. No, you're way wrong about calming down. I'm going to stand before him someday, and so are you. You ought to jumpstart your heart yourself if you can. Come on, don't get lulled to sleep. Don't get spiritually deceived. Don't become religious. Don't hang all around him and talk all about him and sing all about him without pursuing becoming more like him, because he's amazing. And he will change the world in us. Here's how I know this is right. Every church seat could get filled in every church this weekend on Sunday, all across the world. Every single seat filled, and it won't change the world. But becoming love has to. Laying down your own life, denying yourself, picking up your cross and following him begins to influence everybody's sphere of influence. And together, we are an army. And all of a sudden, the earth begins to get touched by his glory and ultimately covered by his glory. Why? Because we walk in love and we make peace and we show mercy. And we ain't harden our hearts and say, well, I'm trying to forgive. We don't even have a grid for unforgiveness because we've been forgiven of everything we've ever done. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. Come on, it's just a heart cry. It's just a heart cry. I'm just crying out my heart. Don't get overwhelmed by it. Get touched by it. Get empowered by it. Go ahead and get convicted. It's a good word. It means to shine light upon. The way that seemeth right. Well, I can't believe they did that to you. Yeah, they said, well, they should have known. I know. That must have hurt you. You must be so hurt. Here, let's pray. Jesus isn't even in that. It's just you taking care of each other. That's just you understand their pain, and you would hurt if you were in their shoes. That means you can't even help them. You can just console them and sympathize. Do you think Jesus is in that arena? He doesn't even know how to be that way. Well, I can't believe they did that to me. Wonder if God thought that for a day. We're all in trouble. Why can't he think that way? Because he's God, because he's love. Let's not miss it. Let's not over-spiritualize it and miss the point. He's not that way because he's God. He's that way because he's love. What makes him so amazing is he's love. And it's a love that we've never seen. Why? Because we were born outside of it. We were separated from it through sin. So Jesus takes away the sin to get us grafted back in and reconnected to the vine. So 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. Not blessing, love. So you deny yourself, you lay down your life, you love not your own life unto death. You seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you live for his name's sake. So your days of frustration are truly challenged now. Yeah? Your days of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. Super challenged now. Because all of a sudden I realize if I can't find it in him, why is it accepted in me if I'm made for his image? As he is, so are we in this world. As the Father sent me, so I send you. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. You need any more scripture? There's a few. I read the book, man. He's firstborn among many brethren. We're predestined to be conformed to his image. Colossians 3:10. We're putting off the old man, putting on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the very one who made him. And you know what I was taught growing up? Well, we're just saved by the skin of our teeth. Well, we're just old sinful wretches. It's amazing he considers us. We're just nobodies. It's amazing, God. And I used to think, is God lonely? That he wants me for a friend? Like, why does he want me in heaven? No, no, no. He wants heaven in me. He wants heaven in me. We make it all about going to heaven someday, and he's going, the kingdom of God is here. Yeah. Don't look here. Don't look there. For the kingdom of God is within you. And go preach saying. He's not talking about a bullhorn. He's talking about your life speaking. Your attitudes, your perspectives, your motives. Oh my goodness, when I got a hold of this, I realized my days of, watch this. Don't get too challenged by this. Get encouraged. I realized my days of complaining are over. Because when you complain, it's a sure sign of self-centeredness. Things don't suit you. Things aren't going your way. Then Burger King's pop up. Have it your way. I'm just kidding. I'm not against Burger King. I'm really not. Actually, I like a Whopper every about 3 months. Maybe four. It's been about six, actually, but they are good. But everything's too convenient. Everything's about us. Everything's about our sake. You're not a Christian for you. You're a Christian for his great name. You're a Christian to become love and be restored back to everything that was from the beginning before there was ever separation from God. So what's that mean? You got to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. That center core, that wellspring of your mind, that foundational place where everything flows from. Renewed in the spirit. That means the heart of your life, the why behind your life. Man, you used to wake up for you. Now you wake up for his great name. That's different. You used to pray for your sake. Now you pray for his name's sake. That's a different prayer. You used to go to work for provision and benefits. Now you go to work to shine. That's different. All of a sudden you aren't complaining anymore and praying for a new job with a Christian atmosphere. Oh, I've been around us. It's one of the number one prayers. I just can't stand my job, Pastor. I'm having a hard time. I've been putting in applications. I don't know why God won't let somebody just call me. I wish he'd move and somebody calls. I can't stand working there. I thought I was only working there a couple months, and I've been there 8 months now. I can't hardly stand it. My boss, oh my goodness, Pastor, he gets on my nerves. If God doesn't get me out of there, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, I hope he balls and chains you there for the rest of your life. Till you get a revelation that this is not about you, your preferences. Because if you don't deal with that, it'll be something else. Even if you get a new job, it'll be something else because the platform's still laid. The foundation's still there. What's it about just living from event to event, moment to moment, jumping from people to people? Or is it about getting right on the inside? So that when you look through new eyes, you see new things. And all of a sudden you're weeping for your boss instead of dreading going to work. And all of a sudden Jesus becomes relatable. Forgive him, Father. Man, if he knew who he was, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. Oh my goodness, he doesn't know you. I say I do. And I'm letting this man decide my life every day. I say your Lord, my boss has governed me for the last 4 months. Wow, I need to know you more, King Jesus. Christianity is a whole lot more than praying for people to become what suits you. Yay. I'm silly right now. Some of it's your faces. Your faces are funny. You're like, it's a deliverance meeting. It's like, they keep the doors open, it'll all leave. We'll all be good in the end. In the end, we'll all be free. Come on. I don't want to ever teach myself to let things matter more that don't matter most. Because that's where you'll stumble. That's the thing that's keeping your soul from being free and having true joy. Because you're not seeing things for the way they really are in him. And you think you got problems and you got answers. Are you with me? Come on. Oh my goodness. I'll just throw this out and then we'll teach into it all weekend, I'm sure. Wonder if you let the gospel teach you this one thing, especially this weekend. If you just let the gospel, this whole awakening song in prayer, which was awesome, Lee. If you just let the gospel teach you this one thing, that every morning you wake up, No one owes you a thing. Because the goal of your instruction is love. Love doesn't seek its own, takes no account of the wrong done to it. We say, I love you, and then we're all busted up by the people we say we love. So we prove we don't even know what love is. We think it's an emotion, a feeling. Usually when you say, I love you, you're actually saying, I need you. You're making my world work. Don't change that. I have expectations on you. Don't let me down. You're my fulfillment. Don't back out on me now. That's usually what I love you means in relationships. I'm just getting real. Because we believe the people closest to us can hurt us the most. And I'm puzzled by that because they're the ones we say we love. And love doesn't seek its own and takes no account of the wrong done to it. Why? Because it doesn't seek its own. So isn't it amazing? You say, well, that's my covenant marriage. They broke covenant. Well, you don't put your trust in flesh. You're not finding your identity through your marriage covenant. Your marriage covenant just means all that is mine is yours. Hello? We don't realize how we're finding identity through one another. And we're not finding identity through Him. So people fail us continually, let us down continually, and we're doing no better than what we've been through and how we're handling it through the needs in our life. If somebody does you wrong, why is it so easy to cry because of them instead of cry for them? Jesus cried for them with His life. We cry because of them with a counseling session with the pastor. There's a difference. Hello? Well, you can't believe what they did to me. Well, how would you feel if they... You try to run that one by Jesus. Come on. You try to run that one by Jesus. And if you can't find how you're responding in His life, you ought to question how you're responding because you didn't learn it from Him. And He's the teacher. And He said, let no one on the earth be your teacher. You have one teacher, and He's the Christ. So if you can't find it in His thinking, why is it in our thinking if He didn't teach us that? Because life taught us that. But we're not to be conformed to the world, Romans 12:2. We're not to be conformed to the world, its ideas, its logic, its reasoning. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I studied it out. You know what it means? Thinking like you've never thought before. Well, where are you going to get new thoughts? From new life. From new wine, from someone new. Yeah? See? This is a whole lot more than Him signing you up on a roll. This is Him putting who He is inside of you so we can be the body of Christ on the earth and let our light so shine before men. And whether we live or whether we die, we do it unto the Lord. And whatever we do, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do it all for the glory of God. That doesn't sound like being discouraged. That doesn't sound like having issues. That doesn't sound like being disappointed. That doesn't sound like being let down by the people I'm depending on the most. Sounds like being free from yourself and free from everybody else. So that you can actually shine and look like Jesus in the midst of it all. What's so special when somebody treats you wrong and you react? You're just like every man that never went to church. I'm sorry, I'm just being real. So what have we accomplished if we come here for the next 30 years, put a little something every time the basket's passed, listen to Pastor, sing along with Lee and his team, get thrown into crisis and respond like the man that never went to church or doesn't even believe in God? I bet we've missed something if that's the case. When Jesus said to let your light so shine before men. You know the scripture that came to my heart? I'm actually on the page. We were during worship and I haven't preached out of the scripture for a long time, but it's all what I'm saying. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, you know how people say we throw the will of God around like a hot potato? Yeah? Well, Ephesians 5:17 says, don't be unwise, understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise, you're supposed to. Remember, not be conformed to the world, transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know why? So you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Yeah? 1 Peter 2 says, that when you suffered for doing wrong and take it patiently, what big deal is that? If you suffer for doing wrong and take it patiently, you ought to. But if you suffer for doing good and take it patiently, now that's commendable before God. It says, for to this you were called. Everybody wants to know their calling? 1 Peter chapter 2, suffering for doing good and not letting it change you. Yeah, that's your calling. Everybody wants their calling. Speaking in stadiums. A nation. Give me a nation, God. How about just walking in humility and loving your neighbor? Maybe you'll grow into a nation. Yay. I'm just convinced of this, and I'm preaching it with passion. If we miss becoming love and what that really means, to become love, we've missed the whole reason Jesus died on that cross. Because he did not die on that cross to take you to heaven. He died on that cross to restore what was lost when Adam sinned. For some reason, we're not teaching that all across this land. And men are getting saved for self-serving reasons. And they're discouraged and sometimes mad at God. That's a dead giveaway right there. Well, if God was good, then how come, if God wasn't good, why'd he send his son when you were lost and a sinner? The question isn't if God's good or not. The question is, do we even understand? And are we holding our lives against his, or are we letting his become ours? Come on. I've been saved long enough to see a lot of hurting people, a lot of confused people, a lot of frustrated people. People come to church and they're not even engaged in the song, "You're Good," because they have three reasons why he's probably not good, because they have three memories in their life. And all of a sudden we got tricked into being a Christian for what he can do for us. And we feel like he's failing us terribly instead of being Christians for how he can make us more like him so our lights can so shine. The whole reason mercy wakes you up every day is to have one more day to be like him, to live by the Spirit and to walk in truth. Mercy gives you another day to walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 2, if any man says he abides in him, he ought to walk even as he walked. Well, that's impossible, Dan. Read your Bible. Grace says it's not. So who are you going to believe? Your experience, your neighbor's experience, or Jesus? And trust that what he paid for and the grace that comes with it is well able to make the difference in my life if I'm willing. So wonder if you go close a bedroom door and get on your knees. Say, man, I don't want to live for the things of yesterday. I don't want to live for my own self. I don't want to be tricked and deceived and wake up one day and find that it was a mixed blend of motives in my life. I just want to know what it means to seek ye first your kingdom, to love not my own life unto death, to surrender it all for your great name. Work in me, Holy Spirit. Bring change to me and help me to see through your eyes. I wonder if you get alone and just start talking like that and actually praying like that. See, until things are located, we're not even thinking that way. We're just praying for bills to be paid, protection on our kids, the job to go well, no accidents, green lights. All the things that benefit us. Christians are funny praying for blessings and favor like that. They pray, think it's spiritual if you can make it through town and get all the green lights. They think they're rocking out faith or something. Here's what you're missing. When your light's green, somebody's just red and you're not even thinking about that. You're supposed to prefer one another, not consider your own interests, but the interests of others. And somehow we think faith is believing for a light to be green. All you're asking is everybody else to get held up for your sake. And you're calling it spiritual. It's so messed up. Yep, and it's a giveaway. We think the gospel's here for us instead of his great name. That's why there's discouraged Christians on the earth. And it's unscriptural. Discouraged Christians are unscriptural. I could show you in the Bible. Consider him who endured such... It's Hebrews 12:3. I'll just give you this one. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, lest you be weary and discouraged in your souls. Just don't you complain once you say discouragement leads to complaining. Don't you complain like they did in the wilderness. Because if you complain, you'll be devoured like they were by the one who devours. You'll be destroyed by the destroyer. Why? Because Satan's seeking, looking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He says, oh, Christian, for yourself, you're easy. Huh, a little circumstantial trouble, you'll fall apart. Just push this off. Easy target. You're a giveaway. All about you. You sang real well. It was all about him, but you just proved it's all about you by your complaining. Bible says, do all things, not some things, all things without grumbling and complaining. Philippians 2. These aren't laws and commands because God's a legalist. They're written in wisdom for your sake so you can rightly walk in him. It's not, he's not loading you up with a bunch of rules. He's loading you up with his heart. And then all those things that he lists are a given. He says, do all things, not some, all things without grumbling and complaining. Why? So you can be seen as an innocent child in the midst of a twisted up world who's living for other things, whom you, shining forth as a light, hold forth the word of life. Philippians 2, it's there. Right after he says he gave him the name above every name, that at his name every knee and tongue will bow and confess that he's Lord, heaven, earth, under the earth. You, therefore, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling and complaining. It's in your Bible. I found it. It's liberating. It's better if you believe it, not just read it, but believe it. Because when you believe it, it becomes your life. Oh my goodness, and when it becomes your life, I think that's what he paid for. New life through Jesus Christ. It's not positional. It's authentic, an expression. Yay?
Yay.
Yay.
Yay, God.
Come on, it's just fun. Are you okay? I'm afraid to look at my watch. I'm so scared to look at my watch. I'm just putting it in my pocket. It's freaking me out. I got a bunch of sessions, though. I'll just be easy. I'll say, Lord, I've never heard you ask me to land the plane, but please tonight for their sake. We're meeting. When are we meeting tomorrow? What's the time? Is there a service in the morning?
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
You actually called a service at 10 in the morning.
You did.
On a Saturday. I did? Okay. I did. The reason we have all these services, we want to talk about these things. We want to talk about how we can become these things, how easy it is, how your heart has to be willing. You can't just hear the word, you got to become the word. There's two men in Matthew 7, one's foolish and one's wise. The wise man heard and applied and became what he heard, and the storm came to destroy what was being built. It didn't come to destroy the occupant. Adversity's not after you, it's after the kingdom. Adversity's trying to stop the kingdom. The adversity could care less if you're on the earth, it cares less if you're on the earth in the kingdom. And then we make adversity all about us. What I'm going through, hardship, not again. It's all about the kingdom, guys. If you miss that, you're going to make a big mistake, and that self-centered thing's going to turn on us again and bite us again, and we just think it's all about us. Hello? Come on, man. There's a demonic war against the kingdom of God. And you get to fight and stand and live on behalf of the king. Why? Because you came out of darkness into the light. You're sanctified and set apart. You're in the world and not of the world. You love not your own life unto death. We overcome. That's all scripture. That's not just Hallelujah Sunday stuff. Boom, 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 boom. That's the word of the Lord. Yay. Come on. That's so good. So we die to all these things we've been so we can become what he's created us to be. This is beautiful. But you got to say yes. You got to say yes. You got to be willing to let go of the rights you inherited through the fall of man. Why did Jesus tell us to deny ourselves? Because we were all born into self-centeredness without asking. Every man from the time you can remember, every woman, every child, I don't care how old, how young in this room, from the time you can remember, it's been all about you, how you feel, who is, who isn't, stability, valued, appreciated, reputation, do they like me, don't they like me, I don't fit in, ooh, they think I'm cool, whoa, yay. Come on! From the time you can remember, extremely self-conscious, self-focused, self-centered, self-protecting, self-defending, self-hating. Why? Because Adam ate that tree and got cut off from the source of love and became in need of love. So instead of being love, he became in need of love. A minute ago, he's made in God's image and he's the expression of his Father, totally fulfilled in him. And he don't need nothing. He needed one thing. He needed a woman. Why? To have an outlet to multiply the love. To have an avenue to pour the love on. We think like Adam's lonely. You're not quite complete, pal. I got a plan. Go to sleep. You'll be surprised when you get up. Whoa, man. Dude, God, you are rocking it. That's what we think growing up in the fall. That's why we laugh so hard, because that's all over the earth. But it wasn't that way from the beginning. What it was from the beginning is he made man and woman. You can find it right in Genesis. Both male and female in his own image, in his own likeness. He said, man, this is awesome. He blessed it and said, be fruitful and multiply. What's he talking about? His image, his likeness. Adam, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Did he fall over dead? We say, well, then what died? People say his spirit. Well, we don't even know what that means. It just sounds spiritual. He died. Who he was created to be. The image was lost. Separated from God. Everything in the breath. Gone. Through sin. So Adam didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy and became completely self-centered, full of pride, and separate from God. Matthew 18 says Jesus came to save not who, that which was lost. Something was lost through Adam. And Jesus came to buy it back. And we make it all about benefiting us and taking us to heaven someday instead of restoring us back to the image, back to love. That's why he says, above all, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. I looked up that word. You know what it means? A house with no empty rooms. It means a town with no empty houses. It means a ship so full of cargo there's nowhere to put one more box. Isn't that what Adam was before sin? In the Father's love, completely fulfilled, he said, it ain't good that this guy be alone. There is none comparable. Sleep reached in to the fullness of God. He didn't make another lump of clay, woman, man. He reached into the fullness of God in man and brought out the woman and made what was one, two, so two could be one and multiply the earth with his glory. That's the plan. Now we've turned it into, well, I ain't getting any younger. Sure love to have some kids. Hey, she's hot. Boy, he's a hunk. Can't believe he likes me. Ooh, feeling a little lonely. Could use some arms wrapped around me. Hello? And there's been so much pain in that arena. And so much hurt. And so much failedness and broken promises. And emotional-driven madness. That you know it can't be from the beginning. How's that for straight? What we've grown up with is not what he saw. Time to get born again. Why? Because every man since that day was born into Adam and born into what he was. And you must be born. And you know what we did with that? We turned it into a self-serving prayer that I repeat that qualifies me for heaven when I die. And that's the big push on the earth, to get everybody to pray that prayer instead of become his life. Well, if you were the enemy, you'd probably love the way we're handling the gospel. Pray the prayer, get qualified for heaven. A lot of the same attitude, same anger, same frustration, same animosity at home, same silent treatment to your spouse when you're not happy with them. Same. But hey, I prayed the prayer. Woo, I'm in. Any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. Let your light so shine before men. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. As the Father sent me, I send you. As he is, so are we in this world. Now you understand why Timothy, it says, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you have knowledge of all mysteries, not some, all. Faith to move every mountain, not some, all. But don't have love, you've missed the whole point. Ain't that something? He said, if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. 1 John 4:7. And everyone, not some, everyone who is born of God and he knows God. Watch. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. Didn't say you don't go to church. Didn't say you don't pastor. Didn't say you don't travel and preach. He said, if you don't love, there's one, not two, one reason. You don't know him. He didn't say you don't see your need for a Savior. He didn't say you aren't sorry for the sins you committed. He's just saying, if you don't love, there's one Bible reason. You haven't been intimate with him. You haven't known him. You haven't been with him. And what he's telling me is it's impossible to know him. Not become like him. That's inspiring. So I don't want a Christian ringtone, screensaver, t-shirt, bumper sticker, and music playing and not be with him. And let the things I do, Christian, take the place of knowing him if knowing him transforms my life. Because this is eternal life. Not that you prayed a prayer to go to heaven in case you die. This is eternal life, John 17:3, that you might know him. The whole goal isn't preaching him. The whole goal isn't singing him. The whole goal is knowing him. And he's telling me that I can't know him without being changed by him. You get it? So I didn't come here to get you to pray a prayer with me. I came here to call you into the why behind the gospel. Deny your, pick up your. That means don't let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't let the things in your life decide your life. Let who he is decide you. Not how it's going, not how you feel, what you believe. Follow. If you don't deny yourself, you'll never carry your cross. If you're a Christian for your sake, you're in for a long, hard ride. You'll pray for your spouse to change, not because you love them, because you're mad at them. And you'll think you're being spiritual and praying. And your friends will surround you because they're hurting for you too. And they'll dig in and pray loud and hard too, all from the wrong twisted place. And you'll wonder why 5 years went by and it's worse. Because nobody's taking the time to value the person and understand that if they really knew who they were, they wouldn't be living the way they're living. And nobody's even prayed because of mercy. They've just prayed because of pain. And once again, we prove we're in survival mode, not Jesus mode. and now we're just trying to get by and use God to do it. It'll never work that way. My wife prayed for me for 13 years to change. And at the end of 13 years, you know what she said? I'm done with him. And I said, great. I did. I said, great. And then I took it a little further. Why did I waste 13 years with you anyway? Your whole family thinks you're crackpot. I could do way better than you. I'm not the best looking cat on the planet, but somebody will need me. I don't know why I'm hanging out with you. And I made it hurt. Because I wasn't going to come out here. So she went in the bedroom and forced herself to not cry. And she said, I'm done with him. And you know what she did? She told me, she looked at the ceiling and said, and I'm done with you. She made a fist at God. And watch what she said. Analytics. Analytical. I have prayed to you for 13 years. You've done nothing. You have allowed me and these children to suffer through hell. I've prayed and I've prayed, and I'm sure he's worse. You've done nothing. I don't need you either. And walked out of the room. Somehow we get the idea he's here to serve us and our needs instead of father us and make us more like him. 6.5 long months later, I get gloriously saved. And she is as mad as can be. Furious. What a slap in the face. Because it's over now. It's too late. Even if you are changed, it's too late. I didn't get saved for my marriage to be healed. I got saved because I saw the wretched state of my heart. And that I needed you to like me to believe I was likable, that I was 100% hypocrite, that there was a zero inside of me and I was empty. I never even thought about the restoration of my marriage. I thought about how pitiful my life was on that night. It was just me and God in a hall, in an aisleway, and there wasn't a human being around. And I broke and I cried and I was never so serious. If you're real, love me, can forgive me, and have a plan for my life, I'm yours. I'll live for you. God, reality came over me. God breathed life into me. Oh my goodness, he put a ring on my finger and robed me and put slippers on my feet. I mean, it was awesome. Hasn't wore off since. I think I'm a little worse. Just know him a little more. When my wife found out, she's furious. 7 weeks in, he meets her in the bathroom. She's just doing her hair to go out on the town. She's living her life. Doing her hair, prettying up. And he comes in the bathroom like he's owning the place. And she said she went, because she knew he was standing there. The last conversation she had with him was this. 7 weeks later, he strolls in the bathroom. He's not insecure. He's not hurt by her. He's not in unforgiveness. He didn't come to straighten her out. He spoke to her. She said she heard it right here, as almost as if she could hear it here. Kim, why are you so angry with that man? Separating me from the unforgiveness that was in her heart. Separating me from the memories and the vision. Because the face looked the same. But, well, not totally. She hasn't seen me since I grew my beard. She said, well, you sound like Dan. You just don't look like Dan. People that don't like my beard talk like that. I've learned to handle it. They talk in riddles, but I perceive it. I got you, didn't I? See how you're all red in the face. He said, why are you so angry with that man? Can't you see? And she said it was like somebody tore something off of her eyes. It was the years of unresolved conflict, human reasoning, rightness. Well, he shouldn't have. Well, he said, well, how much am I supposed to take? Well, I ain't nobody's doormat. Well, I tried and tried and tried. Yeah? Wonder if God took that initiative for one day, none of us have hope. That's how you know it's wrong. It never produces life. It justifies your state. If your mindset justifies your current state of being, then you know you're missing the truth. Are you with me? I'm wrapping up. I am. Don't walk out of me yet. We're at the best part. We're going to close here. We're going to pray and we'll be done. Don't walk out of me yet. It's too good. It's too good. You're going to miss the best part. Stay. Stay. We got to put hand out shock collars and make them think they're conference bracelets. And if they cross a line, and they'll run to their seat. Come on, we got to do that tomorrow. You can come up with that. Well, no, they won't come then. They won't come. Okay. He's in the bathroom with her. He says, can't you see? That's not even the man you're angry with. He said, in fact, Kim, that's not even the man you married. This is my favorite part of the whole testimony. I have made him a brand new man. Now, ain't that what the gospel's all about? Becoming brand new. Not a confession, a new life. Not a language, an expression. He said, I have made him a brand new man. She hit the floor crying in a fetal position, undone, crying. Why? Because the love of God came in and changed her eyes and put up and got her focus off of her and got it back on the truth. The biggest lie on the planet. I'm convinced of this. I say it everywhere I go. I'm not the brightest man. I'm not a philosopher. But I believe this is right. I don't believe the biggest problem on the planet is the president. I don't believe it's ISIS and racial whatever conflicts. The biggest problem on the planet is that every day men that are made for God's image wake up and live for themselves. And then we're bound by our own wisdom and our own answers. And one day we'll find we were horribly deceived. That every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're in fact here for his image. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them prove by the good conduct of their life that the works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have envy or self-seeking in your heart, stop boasting and lying against the truth. Stop appearing to be something you haven't allowed yourself to become. What it's saying is there is zero permission for self-centeredness. It's boasting and lying against the truth because men were made for love. So when you live for self-centeredness, you're lying against the truth. It says this wisdom, self-centered wisdom. Oh, I can't believe what they did to you. Oh, you must be so hurt. Oh, honey, come here. That wisdom that keeps that pain supported never came from above. It didn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, flesh-driven, and demonic. Where there's envy and self-seeking existing, I'm quoting scripture, every evil work is present. Ain't that something? So a spouse goes in the bedroom, agitated, hurt, frustrated, offended. Enough is enough. How much am I supposed to take? God, you need to change them. God, I am so tired of them. They just spew at me and spit on me. They don't respect me or value me. They say they love me. Yeah, right. You need to knock them off their high horse. God, I'm just praying right now. And you're just letting it fly. And you're reading all of David's Psalms. Cut off their head. Break their leg. Chop off their arm. Cut them down. My enemy. And then you start binding and rebuking the devil. Devil, I rebuke you. You get out of my home. You get out of my marriage. And your motive is the very platform and landing strip for him to remain. Because all you are is hurt and you're saying everything for your own sake. And not one thing is motivated by love. Just pain. And you're rebuking the devil. And in your rebuke, you're inviting him to stay. Because of where your heart's sitting in the moment. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? And then you say, why is God letting all this? He ain't letting nothing. You're positioned for it. Time to repent and change. My wife fell on the floor, curled up and crying. He hovered over her, and now he's making peace. for all those months ago. He said, hey, Kim, it's true you prayed to me for 13 weeks or 13 years. It's true, for 13 years you prayed. But you have no idea how you bound my hands from ever answering your prayer, from ever moving on what you were praying. Because never once did you pray for mercy, from love, from compassion. You never prayed because you hurt for what he didn't understand. You only prayed because of pain. He told her she was reduced to another hurting wife that prays. He said, I can't answer that prayer and allow you to stay there because that's not me. And I made you for my image. She cried uncontrollably. Finally got off the floor and ran looking for me. Before that, she'd have just as soon clawed my eyes out. I don't know where that button is, but it was pushed. My wife's quiet, meek, too. She's precious. But in those period of time, just kept your distance, and thank you, Jesus. But now she's running for me, crying out of control. And when I see her slam through the door, running to me out in the backyard where I was, I'm working the garden, she's running, and I thought somebody died. I thought she got a phone call and somebody just got killed in the car wreck. Because she's crying, running right at me, crying hysterically, crying. But I could hear her talking repetitively under her breath as she's running. She was going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Isn't it amazing she's saying she's sorry? I lived unloving, self-centered, a wretch of a husband for 13 years and didn't try at all. Put pressure on her nonstop on any talk show. I'm a villain, she's a victim. And the gospel comes to her heart in the bathroom and she's sorry. Got her eyes off of me, off of herself, onto the kingdom, and now she's sorry. She's running to me and I'm like, sorry? You're sorry? For what? I'm sorry. I'm the one that wants to say I'm sorry. She grabs me. Poof. She's crying hard. Now I'm crying. It's a mess. It was very sloppy. Could hardly talk, all this pent-up emotion, and God is ravaging us with truth. Oh, it was so amazing. She says, oh, she's sobbing, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I said, why are you sorry? Oh my goodness, Kim, I've never pursued to be like Jesus. Not one day have I loved you. I'm finally ready to love you and be like Christ in your life. I wanted to say I'm sorry, and for the first time in my life, I know I have love in my heart, and I'm crying. And I said, you can't be sorry, there's nothing. But she said, I am sorry for not loving you in prayer. He said, every time I prayed, it was only about me. Knowing that if God changed you, it would make my life better. I am sorry. Forgive me for not loving you in prayer. And I was, ah! It's pretty heavy. Isn't it amazing how many rights we have that never came from Him? You just grow up in the way that seems right. You were homeschooled in the wrong home. The wisdom of the world, your teacher, your tutor, your guide, your friends, talk shows, newspapers, articles. There's a tone set. We're being taught from the time we can remember, but it's outside of Him. And it gives you a constant right to be less than who He is, a constant right to express things He never would. That's how we can see we've been deceived. The last thing you need is another reason to not be like Him. Well, I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for this, this, and this. Well, this, this, and this isn't Lord. Why is it governing your life? Come on, guys. If I've stirred one thing in you tonight, where do you live from? And why do you live at all? What's your motive in life? What are you really seeking? Happiness? Fulfillment? Stability? Without becoming what you're here for, none of those things will truly exist. But if you'll let the gospel teach you that one thing I said a while ago, that when you wake up in the morning, nobody owes you a thing. Wonder if you'd bring that into your marriage. Wonder if I'm serious about that and I wake up every day and it has nothing to do with my wife, it has to do with me loving her and being like Jesus, period. And if she's having a trying day, all the more love, all the more grace, all the more compassion. Well, you're going to enable her. What? The goodness of God leads men to change. Well, won't she make you a doormat? I don't think Jesus was a doormat. I think he was the living epistle of love, and he's transformed my life. So I want to be like him and say, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but I know a couple things. It takes two to tango, and I'm not talking about dancing. It takes one to pursue peace. Two to tango, one to pursue peace. A root shot up out of dry ground. Truth sprang out of the earth. And we beheld him in grace and truth. He dwelt among us. At the end, he said, follow me.
I think I'm gonna. You coming along?
Are you gonna hold on to the rights you inherited through Adam? The things you were taught by men? Are you gonna deny yourself? Pick up your cross and follow him and be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for these are the sons of God. See, sons of God isn't a confession, it's an expression. And it's what we are, the children of God. Are you all good?
Are you sure? You seem good. I'm afraid to look at my watch.
I don't think I did terrible. Did I? I'm going to look at it by faith. Oh. Okay, we're just about done.
See, we did good.
Like we were supposed to be done. Actually, I was supposed to be done 20 minutes ago if my things was right. Well, 23 minutes. Dude, 24. So I'm only 24 minutes over. That means I preach an hour and 24 minutes. I never stop at 2 hours. You guys are catching a break. 2 hours is a given when I travel. I'm like, I get up, get on a plane, I'm going to preach the gospel. You'll put a mic on me. I'm preaching, and I preach. No, I'm wrapping up. I know, see, I'm setting you up because you don't know me. Some of you, I can tell, I can feel it. You don't know me, so when I say I'm wrapping up, you're comforted. My wrap-up's an hour. No, I'm just kidding. Here's what we want to do tonight. We don't need an altar call for what I preached. Here's why. You're called to live by faith. You don't need an altar call for what I preach. You just need a sincere heart before the Lord. You either take what I gave and say, man, I'm going to consider this, ponder this, pray on this, yield to this, or you're going to go, see, here's what I've asked. Like, I didn't speak in riddles. You can't say what he say. There ain't nobody sitting here going, what did he say tonight? It's too plain. Children hear it. I've said, Lord, if I'm going to preach in front of people, I need one of two responses out of men when I'm finished. You say, why not one? Because he's not a controller. He's a father. I need one of two responses that a man would say, man, I hear what you're saying, Dan, and I want that. Or a man would say, you know, Dan, I hear what you're saying. I just don't want it. But don't let a man say, what'd he say? I don't think you're saying what he say. How much simpler do you get than the whole reason you're on the earth is to be found in his image and to pursue it by faith and become it by grace? To put off the old and put on the new. To die in the likeness of his death and die to everything he died for so you can raise in the newness of life and put new wine into a new wineskin and contain it. Come on, this isn't riddles. It's all scripture. One scripture after the other. And if a man's alive on the earth, it's because there's a time to be born, but he's alive to be restored back to God's image and live by the Spirit and walk out his life by faith. Yeah? So you got to decide what you do with this gospel. And it's nothing that's setting you up to go to heaven. It's setting up heaven to come into you. So you can walk in the light as he's in the light. Tomorrow we'll talk about how easy it is to become this way, how easy it is to live this way. And how that works by grace. We'll teach a lot of stuff tomorrow. We got two sessions, 10 o'clock and...
equipping service, we're going out and serving in the community.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah. Okay, good. What he's talking about is equipping service, going out in the community. See, here's the deal. When you're not self-conscious, you're not self-conscious.
Yay! That means you don't have the fear of men. You're not self-conscious. Right? So that means you're more kingdom-minded and you see people before you see yourself. It leads into a life that you begin to live where you take interest in others. We'll talk about it tomorrow. In the front end of that, we'll talk about how to become this way. We'll pray about that, and then we'll talk about equipping and how you can actually walk and live and touch and the things you can see in your life. It's just amazing what God wants to do through us. It's really amazing and humbling to give you discernment, to give you foreknowledge, to get talking with someone and actually all of a sudden realize a turmoil they're going through, a way they've been thinking, and you speak it and they cry, "How did you know that?" And you smile gently and say, "Man, Jesus knows everything. He loves you so much. Look, He lives in me. He wants to live in you." Pray. I could just tell you story after story after story like that. Why? I'm not being mean. I'm not comparing me to you. Why? Because I don't have issues. I'm not hung up. I'm not caught up with what somebody said or did.
Yeah.
It's not about who did wrong or right. It's about... Yeah? So I'm going to pray over you guys. Please come back if you can tomorrow. We're going to do one more thing before we dismiss tonight, and it'll be a lot of fun. So that's why I didn't want you to leave. Because the thing we're going to do is going to be a lot of fun. Okay?
Can you see how excited I am? Can you see I'm not nervous about it? So you can lighten up too. Just lighten up.
Can I pray over you? Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the honor that Pastor Mac would let me come and mic up and just talk right here in the house he's been given to pastor people in this pulpit. I don't take it lightly. I pray that the words that were spoken would seal in the heart of everyone, that we would humbly realize there's nothing we preach tonight that we can't live by faith, apart from any other factor or person in our life, that every heart would take this word personal and not sell it out and say, "Yeah, but," and "You don't know what I'm going through," and "You don't know what it's been like the last 2 months." Lord, I pray that nothing would rob the raw truth of what you imparted, and that you would convict every person's heart before you in that truth, and draw us all to a place that looks more like you. That no one would escape this thing. That, Lord God, it would make us hunger and long to live by the Spirit like no time in our lives. Teach us to love. If there's unresolved conflicts, smash it tonight, Lord, in the truth of your love. And just dismantle it in some to where they just like, "Duh, what was I even thinking?" And Lord, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay. Now here's what I wanted to ask you if we could do. I feel good to do this. I think we can do this in a timely manner as well. I mean, it's only 20 after 8. We're doing good. Are we? I mean, this will be fun. Here's what I want to do. Who believes that God can heal? Who believes that God's a healer? Okay, good. Not everybody. I meet a lot of people that don't believe God's a healer. Especially when you talk to them on the streets, and they're usually the ones that go to church. The ones that don't go to church don't really have an opinion. But how about if we pray for the sick in maybe a way that's a little different than you're expecting, but would be very, very helpful and very insightful. Would you be willing? So if there's anybody in here that's not feeling well, not doing well, you'll participate. And not be our guinea pigs, right? You'll just be the recipients of our love and faith. Because we're not testing anything. Faith isn't a point in time. It's not something we're practicing. It's something we believe. And here's what we do. In the midst of our situations, in the midst of our challenges and struggles, we believe He's good. How do you believe He's good, Dan, when my life is filled with challenges? We believe He's good because while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son. He sent His Son when we were lost. We weren't getting it right. We weren't even trying to get it right. And the blood was shed and speaking better things. That's pretty good God right there. He didn't require one change from you. He said, "I'm going to let my goodness bring the change. I'm going to believe the best. Love sees the best. I ain't losing sight of what I made Him to be." And He sent His Son while we were a mess, people. Some of us knew truth and still didn't do truth. Some of us had a real understanding of what was right and still did wrong. Get real with me. And God has never changed. No man has ever changed who He is. That's why He's still changing men.
Tonight we're going to pray for the sick. When you pray for the sick, you'll run into lots of sicknesses. But two different things that I'm going to explain here. And one's not easier than the other, and don't gravitate to one over the other. Some people you pray for, they won't know if they're healed because it's a condition that comes and goes. Time needs to tell, or they need to get a test. It's something in their blood. It's a migraine, and it shows up maybe once every 8-10 days, sometimes 11, sometimes 8. But in that zone, and then what happens after you've had one or two? You get about at that 8-day zone, you're looking over your shoulder. And you're kind of like doing this, knocking on wood and hoping tomorrow ain't. And then you feel that thing coming and you know for about 36 hours you are incapacitated. After about 4 months of that, that takes a toll, huh? So you're in a grocery line, you hear somebody saying, "I'm just glad today wasn't the day I had a..." And you're just over here and you're just hearing. Who's ever heard people talking like this? They're just telling their stuff in open. Come on, man. Here's what he's talking about, activation. You're standing in that line, you hear them saying that. You ain't losing nothing. Watch this. See, you ain't losing nothing unless you don't do this. And the number one reason people don't do this, they're afraid nothing will happen. But because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't ever do this. So guess what they always have? The very thing they're afraid of. It's kind of like not facing Goliath when he was already cut down. And for 40 days, you let him heckle you and you stay in your tent when he was already defeated. 40 days he shouted down the armies of Israel. And God was already ready to take him out. It took a little boy named David to come and say, "What are you guys doing? He's an uncircumcised Philistine." "Well, I'll go out there." And they thought he was being a whippersnapper. He just understood covenant. He said, "Man, he's already done." The number one reason people don't pray for the sick in their own personal lives is because they're afraid nothing will happen. Let's deny ourselves. Let's not turn faith into a point in time. Let's let it be the position of our hearts. Yeah? So you touch that person, you tap them. The worst they could do is say no, and most of the time they don't, actually. You say, "Listen, man, I couldn't help but to overhear what you said." That has to be a terrible thing when that hits you like that, and you know it's coming, and it's been coming regularly now for how many months? That has to be a very trying. "Oh, it's awful, man. Listen, they're still paying up there. We ain't there yet. Nobody's going to know. I didn't even make a scene. Listen, man, I've been just getting some understanding, growing in some areas and getting convicted in some things. Here's the deal. I'm a Christian, man. You can just be honest. I'm a Christian. Please don't say no. This got my heart moved, man. I'll go pray for you one way or the other, but right now, let me just pray for you and let's believe together that this thing will never come back. You step out. You step out in faith." Why would I believe that? Because God crucified his son. Because God crucified his son, put him on a cross, paid for the price of sin, paid to redeem men. I'm just going to believe that by his stripes we're healed, that the chastisement of our peace fell upon him. Yeah? And you just say, "Let's just believe." And you make a statement. "Let's believe this thing will never come back." And wonder if they look at you and say, "Oh man, I can't believe that. I don't even believe that, man. I don't even go to church." Listen, I ain't asking you to believe or go to church. Listen, you've moved my heart. I know this has been a hard season for you. You got nothing to lose, friend. The worst that can happen is nothing. We already got that. Please let me pray with you. Don't say no. They hardly ever say no when you talk to them like that. They hardly ever say no. I could hold you here, and I know you believe me, for hours. And just tell you testimonies like that of real people that got touched and changed. Because you take a little bit of time and live outside yourself and live in him and believe he'll come. I can't tell you how many times I was paying over a counter and said, Hey, you got, "Oh my goodness, how'd you know that?" "It's all right. Listen, give me your hand. It's going to get way better. You're going to love this." And they don't even know what you're doing. They just kind of go like this. They go, "Give me your hand." "Yeah, just give me your hand." They don't even know. And you just take the side of their hand. "Father, I just thank you for your great love for him. Every pain you leave right now, hips you be restored, back you be completely whole." And most of the time they go, "What did you just do? Oh my gosh, what in the blank?" I've heard that. "What in the blank did you just do to me?" "No, it's not what I just did to you. It's what somebody did for you a long time ago, friend. Let me explain. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen that in my life. Why? Because I put myself in that position. He'll come. There's two types of things you'll see. You'll see people that won't know if they're healed. You just have to believe by faith. It's the same faith. There's people that would know if they were healed. Would you agree? If you're in this room tonight, right now, if you're in this room right now and you have a condition in your body, there's no way you'd be able to testify or say you were healed because it comes and goes, or you need a test, or you just need time to tell for whatever that condition reason that is. But in the moment, there's nothing symptomatic. There's no loss of mobility, no loss of hearing or sight. There's nothing protruding. There's no degeneration. There's just no symptomatic thing that you could testify other than just faith in your heart. You have a condition. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the first group. So the second group will be what? People that would know.
What do you say we go for this? What do you say we just see what God does? Are you in with me? You don't want to back out yet, right? It's too late. You're not backing out. We're going to roll. The best you can do is leave right now, but don't leave. If you have a situation that if it was healed, there'd be no way to tell right now in the moment. You'd need a test. You'd need time. I need you to stand to your feet if you can, or raise your hand, please. A condition that if you were healed, you wouldn't be able to testify symptomatically. You wouldn't know. We're going to pray for you, period. You just wait there. We're coming. Okay? Thank you. Stand to your feet, quick. Just a couple more. I don't know why you're holding out. Stand up for me, quick. You have a condition that if it would change, you wouldn't really know, but it is a real condition and you want it to change. Yep, good. I knew I had about 3 or 4 more, and I think 2 stood. I might need 2 yet. Thank you. Good. I got 3. I'll take a bonus. Listen, I'm listening. Why? I'm serious about this. I already have enough people to pray for, but I was hearing there's just a couple more. And when I said that, 3 more popped up. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because we're serious. Why would I feel like I'm getting an impression that there was a couple more? Because God wants us standing, because this is real and something good's going to happen. I do this every weekend, teaching in the church, and then you do it in your own life. You add that up. 23 years of Christianity, it's a lot of fun. Yay. Y'all ready? We're going to pray for you. If there's somebody standing near you, just see if you could tap them and get their hand or something. You don't have to go running all over. Just get right there near you. Just say, hey, I'm going to hold your hand and agree when Pastor prays. Just make contact. You don't have to run all over, but just grab somebody's hand. Make sure they know you're believing with them. Just say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. We're believing you're made whole. Now, all I want you to do, don't like try to pray real hard and amplify your voice, and don't express the name of Jesus with intensity. He doesn't even need that. I just want you to be real simple and just say, be whole in Jesus' name. Believe he loves them and believe he paid a price through the cross, and just say, be whole in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're praying, if you're being prayed for, if you stood up, all I want you to do is believe this one thing, that he has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. This condition is no reflection on his lack of love. His love is settled in my heart or he'd have never died on a cross. Wow. Father loves me. Believe that. He loves you. Faith worketh through love. When love's in question, faith can't even be. You'll just be driven by need for the rest of your life. But when love is settled, faith is found. Father, we just thank you all through this room. Every condition change in Jesus' name. As the people are praying, be whole, I thank you. People are being made whole all across this room. I thank you. Your strong and amazing loving hand is touching everywhere. Everywhere someone stood, every situation. You know it all, God. Nothing eludes you. Touch every person in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for it. Just say it over them. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you love them. Now, if you're being prayed for, just thank God he loves you. There's nothing to symptomatically check anyway. So just thank God he loves you, that you believe this condition has changed, that time's going to prove it, a test is going to prove it, that you're going to come to realize, wow, on that night I stood by simple faith, God touched my body. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Let's break that up. Grab your seats quick, and we're going to do the second half, and it's going to be so much fun. If you can stay, please stay. This is the funnest time. It is. Okay, y'all ready? So who's our next group? These guys are so good, I'm just letting them go. I didn't even stop them.
I never let people play music when we do this. That's how much favor you're getting. I don't. You know why? I do it on purpose. Because I don't want to create atmosphere because we're so emotional. We're so sensual. You don't have atmosphere in Walmart's parking lot. You just have you, Jesus, and the person in front of you and your feelings, and sometimes we don't deal with them well. Sometimes we're waiting to hear a yes, and we already have yes. Go ye therefore. We're looking for a yes because our apprehension, we think, is a no. He's already telling you to go. Whatever city you're in. What city? Whatever. Heal the sick there. What sick? The. Come on, John 6, he stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first was healed of whatever. That's the gospel. Whoever, whatever. Yay. Here's what bothers us. Here's what stumbles us. Not everybody we've prayed for we've seen healed and changed. Well, we're all growing in the truth. Let's stop changing what we believe based on what we experience. Let's find what we believe through Him so we have something to build on and grow into. We keep changing our theology through our own experiences. The Word's already written. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the will of the Father. When you see me, you see Him. He didn't say, when your loved one dies, you see him. Hello? And everybody in this room knows that if Jesus walked into that situation and touched your loved one, we all know what would happen. I don't care what denomination you are across the land. It is a no-brainer. Don't even have to think to answer. But He is in us, and the Christ in us is the hope of glory. And we're to teach and train in the knowledge of Him so we're not tossed to and fro by every wind and feeling, fleeting emotion and doctrine. So we can grow up into Him in all things to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Come on, I'm preaching the gospel to you. And I am done. Well, I never was there anyway, but I'm done getting tossed to and fro. I'm done believing what I'm experiencing over what He says. I'm done with all the yell, well then how come, but what, and all the anger and frustration and the pain and the loss. I did the funeral of my own mother. Don't tell me I don't understand. I'm not being insensitive. I've held children in my arms that they said had to die. And I did their funerals. But I held children in my arms they said had to die. And they're still alive today. So I ain't seen enough yet. But I seen too much to change my mind. Yeah? I'm going after it. And I ain't backing down. I ain't letting common knowledge and human reasoning change me. I'm not letting my mother passing rewrite the book. I'm going after Him all the more so somebody else's mama doesn't pass. And I'm not going to live offended because I love not my own life unto death. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have had a mama. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be here. He is the Lord. He is not questioned through my mother. He is settled through His Son.
Yay.
Come on, that's just humbling. But it ought to humble us. If you're sick in your body, you need healing in your body. And if you were healed tonight, you would absolutely know it. That you'd be able to check without exaggeration. Without trying to make the person that prayed for you feel good. That would be called lying. But if you were healed, you would absolutely know it tonight. I need you to stand to your feet. If you have a situation in your body, we're coming to you. I know you're sitting there and we're going to pray for you. I need you to stand to your feet all over this place. If you vowed in your heart to never do this again because you were done this 10 times and never were healed, please stand up for sure. Yeah? Come on. Come on. I'm waiting on you. Just stand to your feet. Don't make me go fishing. I'm actually a very good fisherman. I shouldn't need to have to go fishing. We should just stand up in raw faith and say, you know what? I'm trusting the goodness of the Lord. You're sick in your body, and if you were healed tonight, you would know it. You have symptoms in your body that if Jesus would touch you, you would be able to tell because they would change. I need you to stand up. I'm still waiting because I still have a few more. Come on. I got eight people. I thought it was seven, but I'm sure I heard eight. You have arthritis symptoms in your body right now, stiffness, pain, immobility, and you're still sitting in your chair, and I heard eight. I need you to stand to your feet. I'm telling you, God's serious. Stand to your feet. it's in your knees, it's the hip, something ain't right when you're going up the stairs, when you're coming down, it's hurting, there's things in your hands, you're stiff, when you work a little bit, you don't have the mobility, there's arthritis symptoms. I heard 8 people. Who stood up when I said that? Let me see your hands so I can count my 8. 1, 2, 3. Who stood up when I said that? I need to count my hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I need 2 more, please. I know when I hear numbers. I'm just telling you, I'm clear on numbers. Am I missing somebody? 7? Did I miss somebody that you didn't see your hand? 8. I thought I heard 7, but then it shifted to 8. I'm sure it's 8. Did we got you? You weren't counted originally? You just stood up? Thank you. Oh, that's good. So you're my number 8. Good. Thank you. You don't relate this to arthritis. You're still sitting. It's one person. You've lost strength. You're a woman. You've lost strength in your hands and your grip. And you didn't stand up. Your grip's not the same. Is that you? Guess what's going to happen to you when they pray? No, look at me. Guess what's going to happen to you when they pray? Your grip is restored. I'm telling you. You watch and see. God did not pull you out of the seat just to expose that you're sitting. He means business. He's our Father. I got plenty of people to pray for. We could already have done this thing. But it's real, and I'm waiting and I'm listening, because I know sometimes people just stay sitting for whatever reason, and God just needs to nudge them forward. So I'm standing here and I'm listening, and I see no strength in the hands. You don't have the same grip, and you're asking yourself, what's wrong with me? Something's not right. I'm different. And I heard it was a woman. She jumped right to her feet. I told you I'm a good fisherman. But don't make me fish. Just stand up. If you're still sitting, please stand up. Please stand up. If you have a condition in your body. Okay, I got one more thing, and I'm probably, well, unless God just gives you. It's your right ankle. It hurts you all the time. When you walk, you're still sitting in your chair. Your right ankle. It's your ankle, and it's your right one. Who are you? Stand to your feet. It just came to me crystal clear. Did I get you? Wave your hand when I got you, when you stand up. It's your right ankle. It's not your left. It's your right. It bothers you. When you walk, it bothers you. Especially in the morning, but you feel it. You can always feel it. Stairs are a trouble. I know when I'm hearing this stuff, I don't know why you wouldn't stand. Your ankle? Your right ankle? It's your right leg? Does it hit your ankle? Does it affect your ankle? Okay. Good. Thank you for standing. So you would say it's even up into your leg as well. But is your ankle an issue? Because I was hearing ankle. Is your ankle right here? Right ankle? Okay. Specifically ankle. I know you got other stuff. But the ankle is trouble. I'm seeing the ankle being trouble. Okay. Thanks for standing, ma'am. We got you too. Okay, I'm not fishing anymore. Here's what we're going to do. So we got our people standing, okay? Okay. You've been told by a doctor you have degenerative knees. And they grind a little bit and they bother you. You can feel them grinding. They hurt a little. It's kind of degenerating. It's getting to be bone on bone. I need you to stand up. I'm actually hearing there's 3 of you. Degenerate knees, you've been told by a doctor. You? Good. Thank you. Where's my 3rd one? I heard 3, crystal clear. Did I get her? Oh, you? Degenerate knees? You think I don't hear numbers? Listen, He's our Father. He will speak to you clear as can be. The more you get free from yourself, the clearer you'll hear. The more you get free from yourself, the more you value others. God told me a long time ago, Dan, I can tell myself anything. He said, when you become one with my heart, you're in. If my motive's pure, the pure in heart shall see God. Yay. You see what's wrong with me? I have a relationship with Almighty God. He give me little insights, little informations. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to come in this room and do what he does in a minute. And there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. And it just makes me happy. Okay? So we're going to trust him? Now here's what I didn't tell you. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. And it's on purpose. Here's what I need you to do. The people standing, one hand, we're not worshiping right now, we're just being identified. The people that are being prayed for, lift a hand so everybody knows who you are. When we stand up, we don't want to lose you in the crowd. Okay, people, not somebody you know through and through, not your spouse. Go find somebody. I want everybody claimed, at least one-on-one, just one-on-one where somebody takes the lead. As soon as they claim you, don't pray yet. Don't pray. Just go say, hey, you're mine. Just have fun with them. You want to really have fun? Say, hey, I never did this before. And smile. Okay. Are you going to believe for them then? When we do this, you go pray for them? Okay. When they claim you, put your hand down. Put your hand down. I only want your hand up if nobody has you yet. So we should have everybody quickly, right? Good. I'm going to get up here so I can see. Come up here and see what it feels like to be on the worship team. Yeah? Okay. Somebody believing for his knees up there in the booth? You guys got it covered in Jesus? Yeah? Well, I'll tell you what. If you do Jesus as good as you're doing sound, his knees are in big trouble. Well, I guess blessing. Amen. Okay, here's the deal. Don't pray yet. You don't have to pray yet. We're going to do this as a family. Now listen, it'd be one thing if I line you all up and flow in my gifting and do all the stuff I could do in the Holy Ghost. Now, it would be fun. It would be fun for me. But it wouldn't necessarily empower you. This is all about empowering you. This is about getting you ready for equipping. Getting you ready to just live this way. I want to show you how easy this can be to just believe God. We're not turning faith into a point in time. Faith is the position of our heart. We believe he's good. We believe he loves people. We believe he shed his blood on the cross to make people whole. We believe his finished work is enough. Amen? It's not our prayer. Listen, this is liberating. Your prayer has never healed, never will heal anybody. It's his finished work. So let's not be self-conscious when we pray. Here's what we do when we pray. We try to pray hard, right, powerful. And we get self-conscious as soon as we start praying. We try to pray better prayers instead of believe truth. So I'm just liberating you tonight. You don't have to pray no better prayer. Watch. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's probably going to be plenty. If it's backed by a revelation that we're talking about. Are you with me? So here's the deal. Take 3 seconds, just 3 seconds, the person that stood, tell the person or the people praying for you, 3 seconds, short version, why you stood up and what you're believing for. Just an overall general condition, what you're believing for. You don't have to go into a long thing. I know if you have a list, just generalize it. 3 seconds, you should know. Y'all there? Y'all ready? Okay, look here, don't pray yet. You guys are ready to roll. I gotta slow you down. Hold up, no praying yet. Now here's the deal. We're gonna pray here in a second. I'm gonna give you about 6-8 seconds to pray. And I'll stop you. You say, why? Because I don't want you self-conscious and I don't want you getting in trouble. I don't want you trying to pray right and trying to pray hard. I just want you to believe in simple truth. If God the Father in the beginning said, let there be light, and there was light, we probably don't have to pray. It's probably not the length of our words. It's what we believe that releases the kingdom. Are you hearing me? So if somebody told, if they were one of my people, I had to stand up and they said my knees were degenerated, or I have arthritis symptoms. Watch, 6 seconds. Arthritis, you leave their body in the authority of Jesus' name. No more pain, no more stiffness. Father, thank you. Total mobility. In Jesus' name, because you love him, Father. Who knows you can do that in 6 to 8 seconds? Knees, you be completely whole. No more degeneration. No more grinding. Complete restoration of cartilage, Father. Thank you for brand new knees. In Jesus' name, because you love him. Who knows you can do that in 6 to 8 seconds and actually believe that God's good and he paid a price to do that. Are you all ready? So see, you don't have to produce anything. You have to believe what already was produced. Are you with me? We're going to pray for about 6-8 seconds. I'm going to say, okay, wind it up. When I say wind it up, obviously you're praying in Jesus' name because he's the finished work. I always encourage people to acknowledge God's love because I think it's lacking in most people's lives, the revelation that he loves them. Okay? That's your call. But in Jesus' name, Father, thank you for your love. Then what I want you to do, without any exaggeration, that's why I usually don't have music or anything, and they can play here in a minute. You guys can play. Listen how they just shut down. I usually make the room as dry as I can before we pray. People that go to supernatural schools are like, I say, does this feel dry? They're like, yeah, brother. So we're used to, what about just believing him? What about being in a room where nobody knows him, but you know him? And you just speak up and pray. Yeah? It ain't like having these guys behind you, I promise. But when you got him in you, that's all you need. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. I'm going to say, wrap it up. When you wrap it up, here's what I want. With no exaggeration, I want you to check your bodies. Check those symptoms. Check your bodies, okay? When you know you're healed, when you know, I don't want exaggeration. I want you to look at one of them young ladies that prayed for you and she's like, you feel better? I don't want you lying. Justify, well, I'll just tell her yes by faith. Yes, feeling really good. Stop. I want you to check your body, and when you know you're healed and you're doing something you would have protected yourself from or you wouldn't have done before, that's when I want you to let us know. If you had a torn rotator cuff and this was your limit and now you're going like this, then I want you to let us know. Okay? If nothing seems to change in your body, don't you disconnect. You stand here and listen to a few testimonies. You thank God he's a healer as you listen, and you keep checking your body and watch what happens in this room. Are you with me? Are you all ready? You remember what you're praying for. Simple faith. Look at them. Make them uncomfortable before you pray. That Jesus loves them, that they're special, and that he just would die on the cross for them is amazing, right? Are you ready? 6 to 8 seconds of simple faith, believing faith, because he loves them and he paid a price. Go ahead, pray for that condition right now. If you're being prayed for, just believe God loves you. That's all I want you to do. That's all I want you to do. Believe he loves you. Yep. Pray right now, specific. Thank you, God. Okay, wind that down. Wind that down. In Jesus' name, and thank God that he loves them. Now, if you were prayed for, just thank God. Before you even check your body, just thank God that he loves you. You believe he loves you. Now, begin to check your bodies for me all over this room. Really, really check them. I don't want quick answers. I want you to take your time and check them. As soon as you know you're changed, I want you to go like this. I need you to go like this and let me know as soon as you know you're healed. Let me know. As soon as you know. Yeah? Is she saying yes? Wave your hand as soon as you know. Check your body. Yeah? You know for sure? Good girl. That's awesome. No, I believe you. You know for sure? For sure. Did I see a hand over here? Did I see a hand over here? Let me see your hands. Anybody else? For sure? You're finding out? Take your time. That's what I want. Hey, you were one of my late standers. Ah, it's good. Did you change? For sure. Look at you laughing. It did change, didn't it? God called you out of your chair, girl. How do you know? You just tell. Because it's your body. You can tell. You have grip, squeeze, make it hard. You couldn't do that? No? You can do it easy. You can do it easy. So what do you think just happened? Do you think we just hyped this and made you believe this, mind over matter? No, we had to root you out of your chair. Yeah? And God's merciful and loving and kind, isn't he? And what I tell you, I said, you know what's going to happen? Didn't I tell you that? Who prayed for you? These guys. So you're telling me Jesus is in them? Jesus in you guys. So we can live this way. And we can believe these things. Amen. Who else? Who knows you were healed? I saw some hands. Let me see your hands again if you know you were healed. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. There was about 4 of you. Why are you holding... Yeah? Okay, I'm seeing you now. 1, 2. Why don't you check her out, Pastor? Just see what happened. Tell us what happened. How do you know you were healed? You're not nervous, right? You can talk. Nah, be okay. Give him glory.
When they were praying over me, my body went completely numb. And beforehand, I've had back pain for a very long time.
24/7, ongoing?
On and off.
Easy to find, though.
Yeah.
Easy to find.
Right at the
Okay, I just want us to understand. Okay.
And it doesn't hurt anymore.
You can't find it. Like, there were certain ways you'd be able to make it hurt if you tried.
If I went like this, it would hurt.
You couldn't do that? Mm-hmm. No pain at all. None. Completely gone. That's awesome. Good. Go back there. Check that lady out back there. She's back there. She's a small little thing. She was raising her hand. Was she raising her hand? Yeah. You were, weren't you? Yeah. Yeah, I want you to preach to us a little bit. No, just tell us. Tell us why you raised your hand, honey.
Well, I've been having pain since March in my fingers, and I think I have rheumatoid arthritis. And they just throb. My fingers throb constantly, and I can't open jaws.
Since March?
Since
24/7, achy, throbby.
Yes,
definitely. All the time?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's hard to grip things.
Okay.
And hold things.
Okay. You don't have any of that feeling. That's really good, huh? Because that's your body. You understand. See, you see how emotional she's getting, guys? Don't ever get dull and numb to this stuff. That's her body. She knows. That's why she's a little emotional, because she knows what it's been like since March. And all of a sudden, without hype, without just simple prayer, she can't find that symptom, right? Stretch your hands to her with me, would you? We're the church. Come on, stretch your hands to her. Father, we thank you that rheumatoid arthritis would never be found in her body. We thank you tonight she will sleep like a little baby in your arms and never wake till it's time to get up in the morning till she's rested. Thank you, there'll be no throbbing, no pain, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you she is completely free from this situation all the days of her life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Who else? Another testimony. Somebody that knows they were healed when we were praying, that you raised your hand. I know somebody else. Yeah, there. She did.
I have bone on bone in my left knee. And when they prayed for me, now I can move it back and forth.
You felt it change now that it's different?
Yeah.
Since they prayed?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's good. Okay, let me ask this question quick. Do we have anybody else that you know you changed when we prayed? It was healed. Did we miss anybody? I thought there was another hand somewhere over here. No? Yeah? No? Okay, let me ask you this question. Who didn't raise their hand because it wasn't 100%, but it's definitely better than it was, or it's changed somewhat? You just didn't raise your hand because it wasn't 100%. Let me see your hands. Some increase? Some feeling better? Okay. We're going to pray over you one more time. What? You're not confined to that chair?
Well, no, I can walk.
Okay.
But I had ankle surgery.
Uh-huh.
On the right side.
Okay, yeah.
Which was major.
Yeah.
Couldn't walk, couldn't put my foot to the ground. And then did a front flip over a knee scooter and broke my femur.
Lord.
And the femur, that was 6 months ago, and it's not healing.
Okay.
So I was having pain, and they laid hands.
It's not there right now.
It's not better.
Okay. Yes. We're going to pray one more time. I need to see your hands. Thanks. No. In a minute here. I need to see your hands. If we prayed for you and you're somewhat better, it's just not all the way, so you didn't testify. Yeah? Yeah? It's hard to see up here. There's a glare. Somewhat? Keep your hands high. You don't have to go to them, Pastor. We're going to do something quick. You can just hang loose. Somewhat changed, somewhat better. You just didn't raise your hand because it wasn't 100%. Right there? Yeah, it's important you guys lift your hands. There's a reason. Because I want your person. Is your person still here that prayed for you? Yeah? Look around. If their hand's up, go to them right now and say, hey, we're going to pray one more time. And here's what you do. Thank God for the increase. But thank him. You know he's a finished work. And just declare that thing completely 100% healed. Let's watch and see what happens in the room. One, two, three, four. I know we're praying for four, five. We're praying for five at least, okay? Pray for them right now. 6 seconds. Just 6 seconds of the same prayer. Don't shift your prayer. Same prayer, same believing prayer. Let's believe God the second time. Jesus' name. It's real simple. Six, 8 seconds, and then close out your prayer. Yep, same prayer. Thank you, Father. Speak it out loud. Make sure somebody takes the lead and speaks over them. Yep, wrap it up. And Jesus, see, if you pray for somebody on the street and they tell you it feels better, they will never tell you you can't pray again. If they sincerely feel better, they'll ask you to pray again. So we need to learn to just keep believing. Okay, my five people, check your bodies. Check your bodies right now. And tell me if anything went away, got better, or all the way better. All the way better. Anybody? What's going on? You had tooth pain, like throbbing? Before they prayed? You don't have any? Can you find it? So it's not throbbing, not aching? That's awesome. No, that's amazing. Anybody else change anymore or get all the way better? What's going on? Well, talk to me. Okay. A lot better. Like what percent better out of 1 to 100%? 85 better. What about this thumb and hand thing going on here? So something's moving, something's changing, and your feet and ankles feel way better. Was it anywhere else? What about your hips? Yeah, check your hips. Come on, girl, check them for me. Check your hip. You feel a little more liberated? You gonna do the floss thing? Come on, he'll teach you. He's showing you. Come on, we get you up here and floss. You feeling change? You gonna be here at all tomorrow? Or did I run you off tonight? Are you gonna be back at any other services? Tomorrow night. Stretch your hands. We're gonna talk to her tomorrow. We're gonna find out. Stretch your hands to her. When you go home tonight, will you do yourself the biggest favor? You lay on your bed when nobody's listening, or if you're married and your hubby's there, but you get in the bathroom, get alone where nobody's. Just lift your hands to God when ain't nobody looking. Okay? It's a big deal. Father, you love me so much. You'd have never sent your son. What you're doing in my body is amazing. I receive it. I thank you for it. Thank you for total wholeness. Just thanks for loving me. Just talk to him like that from your heart a little bit. Okay? Father, we thank you that not one single trace of rheumatoid arthritis would remain in her body or ever return, in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, we're going to talk to you tomorrow, and you just be honest and tell us what it's like from now till then. That'll be a good test, right? Who else? You felt better back in the back the second time? Okay. My preaching's awesome. Yeah. I'm just messing with you. Good. So you know in your body there's some liberty, there's some change. Good. Anybody else want to testify quick? Anybody over here, we have prayed. Anything change or it just seems to still be a little bit of increase, just a little better? Anybody need to share something? This is my last thing. Who did we pray for and nothing changed in your symptom or your experience up to right now? It's still the same as the first time we prayed. Be honest. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Nothing changed from the very first time till right now. Whatever it was, it's still the same. Keep your hands high. I want to see who you are. Keep them up high, please. Oh, okay. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We got 10 people. Do you see your person with their hand up? Does anybody know it's their person? If it's your person, go grab them. Say, hey, we're doing this one more time. Just one more time. Go grab them. No, seriously. Now, here's what I want you to know. I talk about this because it's the thing we don't talk about. We always talk about what happened, and then people leave and nothing seemed to happen, and their minds usually go, wonder if I'm doing something wrong. Wonder why I wasn't healed. Wonder why those couple people, they sure seem sincere. I believe that happened. I wonder why it doesn't happen for me. Something must be blocked. Blah, 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 blah. Stop. Christians have one response. Faith is not a point in time. It's a position of your heart. You have one response. Father, you are so good. You're doing a work in me, and I rejoice and thank you for what you're doing in my life and my body. Period. That's how you leave here. Period. But here's what we're going to do. We got like 10 people. We're going to pray 6 more seconds. And we're going to believe that some things change, even though they didn't change up until now. Would you believe that with me? And that would just encourage their hearts, and we'll realize that, hey, if you want a hard stone to break and you got a sledgehammer, guess what you do? You just hit that thing. Hit that thing. And you're saying, be healed. Be made whole. Arthritis, you leave. Pain, you go. Right? 6 seconds. Go ahead and let's watch and see what changes in this room. We got about 10 people we're believing for. Please. In Jesus' name, completely whole. God, thank you. Yeah. Man, I appreciate you guys surrounding that little guy. Thank you, Father. Yeah, bring total change in Jesus' name. Come on, wrap it up. Wrap up your prayer. Wrap up your prayer. Just thank God that He loves you. If you're one of the 10 people we're praying for, please thank God He loves you. Without exaggeration, check that thing now and tell me if it's changed. We're going to have a couple change. I just believe we are. I feel it in my heart. Those 10 people, check your bodies. Whatever that means, to check your body. Anybody change out of my 10 people? Make sure you let me see you. It's a little bright up here. 10 people. I'm looking for a hand. Anybody? Don't exaggerate. Change that time? Nothing the first time or the whole time. Somewhat or all the way?
I'm feeling kind of like tingling.
Okay. What about the actual symptom or the thing that was wrong? Is it still there at all? Is it better? Where are you? Okay. And nothing up until now. Okay. Anybody else changed, even somewhat or all the way? And nothing the first time. Changed? Just got better? No, that's okay. Yeah. You couldn't do that? Did that just happen the last time they prayed? So right up until then, you still couldn't do that. And just then, that just happened right there. That's so beautiful. Guys, if we draw conclusions through results and create theology through results, we're going to miss truth that makes people free. This is all Jesus is trying to teach us. Because here's what we do. Well, they didn't get healed. Mustn't be their time. Mustn't be God's will. Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe they need to be in faith. And we come up with all these reasons instead of just going after what we believe He paid for and what's possible. So here's a woman standing here all this time, all this teaching, all these testimonies, and nothing's changed. And the very last time, she's smiling going, that just happened. Now, how sweet is that? So is that a different experience for you, ma'am? That's, you couldn't do that. They couldn't even touch? And you're making a full-blown fist? She couldn't even bring her fingers together, guys. Ah! And it's a full-blown fist with no problem. Look. How long were your hands impaired like that from stiffness and pain? Years. Now, are we hyping this? Or are we making this up? Don't ever get numb to this. Don't get dull to this. You see, well, it's just her hand. Yeah, so it's your hand. Who else? You know you changed that time when we prayed. Check your bodies right now. Tell me if it's changed. Changed somewhat? Little bit. When you go home tonight, talk to Him like I shared with the lady. Father, thank you. You love me. Anybody we prayed for out of the 10, ma'am in the stripes, tonight when you go home, Father, thank you for loving me, and I so appreciate what you're doing in my body. You are amazing to me. Yeah, thank you for loving me. Right? That's how your body changes. Anybody need to testify before we close out in prayer? Everybody good? Stretch your hands over to this woman in the purple, please. Father, I thank you. Couple falls, couple tough breaks, man. Seriously, breaks. And I know it's cost you some and inconvenience and mostly pain. Even finances, God, I just pray for a blessing in their life financially. But God, I just thank you that you're doing a work in her. Believe, God's with me, that this body be completely made whole, that this leg would no longer be inflamed, that nighttime wouldn't be a dread, that there would be rest in the night and life all through the day. That's actually what I'm hearing to just speak over you, that there's going to be solid rest through the night, and you're going to be ready to roll through the day. Rest when it's time, roll when it's time. I thank you, Father, for no disruption or dysfunction in between. Total wholeness in her body. I thank you that what was in healing is being restored. I thank you, no more pain. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you have children? How old are your children? Is there one specifically that you're really concerned about? Yeah, that you've been praying and you're concerned. I was praying and I just... Yeah, and you're really concerned for her, like it's a mama heart cry thing. It hurts you. Her life is hurting your heart, right? I just saw that. I heard you're aching for a child, but I didn't know the details. So I just thought I'm just going to ask you. Sometimes you... I know, but specifically there's an ache for I just saw it was kind of a different ache. It was kind of a over the top, like, ah, oh, yeah. You've been praying. Do you have a son?
Yes.
That you're believing for alignment? Yeah. Let's just go pray this. Let's just pray this. Yeah. Father, we just thank you that the heart of a mother is sincerely fulfilled in her children. A sincere heart, a heart of a mother, a Christian mother that loves her kids. That this heart would just be filled in the lives of her children, that grace would come on everyone. Specific prayers she's prayed, specific concerns she's had, would be addressed by your grace, and things would shift and change before her eyes. God, for the sake of her kids, and she would surely receive a blessing and rejoice. We bless your children in Jesus' name. I wouldn't see those things in Esther's questions if there wasn't a grace coming on your children. You'll see it for sure. Okay? Sometimes you hear in part and you just ask questions. Let's do this. Let's just lift our hands to heaven with me, would you? If you don't want to, you don't have to. If you understand what it means, please. Just lift your hands. It's just a sign of yielding. I surrender. I'm here. I love you. It's just a posture of humility, really. We just lift our hands before you. Yeah, you guys can flow and play. I'll turn you loose. You've been all obedient. Just shut down on me, Lee. You just shut down. You let the room get dry. Lift your hands to heaven, would you? And just you personally, thank Jesus for what he did in your heart. Just thank him. Thank him for what he did through his blood, through his cross. Ask him to make it more plain to your heart, more burning in your heart, to give you more hunger, more revelation. You just talk to him a little bit. Just don't be afraid to ask him to come, like we sang, and awaken things in you. And just ask him that you might know him more, and that who he is more relevant in the expression of your life. Would you begin to ask him that this love thing we talked about would just be your expression, that it would actually just come natural in your relationship with God, that you would actually begin to live unoffendable, that you'd be unshakable, unmovable, just like the Bible says, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. Father, I thank you for a people. I thank you for a people that you're doing a work in. I thank you, God, you sowed a seed tonight. You watered seed. You're the God of increase, and something is coming out of nights like these. I thank you that you're adding to everything that's been sown, and even these men of God around here and leaders, you're just sowing into and agreeing with, and out of the mouths of two or more, you're establishing your truth. But we lift our hands to you and we yield to you and we say yes. The best we understand, yes. And have your way. Your grace is sufficient for us. And we believe it. But most of all tonight, we say yes to becoming love and living what you paid for. And Father, I ask you to teach us. Let our hearts stay engaged. And let no one in this room turn any other way. I pray you mark us this night with a yes. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We love you. Do you want to close or say anything? Or you're just dismissed. What time tomorrow if you want to come?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. I'll be here. If you want to come, come. We'll say hey. If not, I'll just come. But I'll see you. Bless you. Love you. And tomorrow night at 6:30. Bless you.